Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216. Twitter is hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on LinkedIn by using hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler by using at Watchman DGS and CloudHub with at Warn Radio. We have a lot of avenues for listening to our show, and you can listen to our shows through the following carriers. We have Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Go to danaglennsmith.com and look for the following articles by The Watchman. Politically, outrageously immoral, and it is shaking, stirring, and seditious. It is not an iota of difference from the torrid cheating in the elections around the world. Every demagogue, socialist hellhole, and left-wing dictators do it. Also, beholding God, greater things than these. The world may not know it, but one day they will. From the least to the greatest, all will know the truth, the kingdom of God. On warn-usa.com, you will find Tide, Time, and Eternity. These three will meet at the Lord's coming. Until the moment when life on planet Earth changes forever, humans will live as if there is no tomorrow. Also, Signs of the Times, Christian Persecution, is a featured classic Warn Radio series, especially relevant posts are ones that put the classic in Warn Radio. Listen to this classic Warn Radio episode. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Tonight on Battle Lines, to defend Jerusalem, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 78. Defend Jerusalem brings us to part 78 of Isaiah's prophetic book. We have looked at the Assyrian threat, which as common knowledge today, we know, and Scripture tells us, God defeated them at the gates of Jerusalem. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana.
Greetings. Today is Thursday. It's the 28th. Tonight is the Wolf Moon.
Is it really? What is the Wolf Moon exactly?
Well, it's a great big moon. And, you know, we've talked about it in years past, but I can't remember all the details when it was started or when someone thought it up. But this morning, you could tell that it was a Wolf Moon because it was so close, so big and so huge. And of course, you think of the moon, you think of wolves howling at the moon. Now, I've seen a lot of pictures of a wolf on a mountaintop, you know, howling at this huge moon.
Yeah.
But there's something about the moon, you know, and the way it shines and how close it is, and how on certain clear nights you can see the craters and the various colors of the moon. And as it gets further away, you can't see it so clearly. And so it's one of those things that the moon, especially a full moon. Now, you'll recall that in the restaurant. Every nutcase come in on a full moon, and I mean the nuts. You wouldn't believe what a full moon brings in clientele.
That is true. You could track it.
Yeah, you could, and it was just absolutely unreal. And, you know, the full moon, it's just something about it, and it has that effect.
it's bizarre.
I've been in restaurants, and I mean, I've been a GM, I've been executive chef, and many other titles in these things, and that was in another lifetime ago. And boy, when it was a full moon, and if it now the big thing was a full moon on a Friday night. Oh, dear God in heaven!
Yeah,
because you were swamped, and then you had these just unbelievably weird characters. Straight out of whatever, you know. And I don't mean that mean. I just mean that's what they were. We didn't see people like that except on the full moon. It's like they all came out. Okay, it's full moon. Time to go out.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what it did.
Oh, that's what a wolf when he looks at his watch. And if it says full moon, it's time to go, kids. We got to go howl at the moon. And away you go. It's an amazing process. So with that, we got to begin.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Well, we are in part 78, and we want to stop off back here at Isaiah 32, because that's where we had left off. And I like to reunite where we left off, where we're going. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now, this is really a good scripture. Now, of course, this is talking about the Lord, and how he will come against those. You see, all this continues to be about the choices of Judah when they had decided, some of the political people within Judah that ran the place, decided that they wanted to go to Egypt to get help from them against the Assyrians. Well, the Assyrians were really strong and nasty. And when they came in, Egypt couldn't do anything. And eventually, though, even Egypt gets in trouble, because when Nebuchadnezzar overruns Judah for the second time, and the children of Israel are taken into captivity for 70 years, some of them decide to go down into Judah, and Jeremiah tells them not to go. And then he tells them that the Lord is going to sweep judgment through where they're going in Egypt, and they'll be taken in it. So the Lord can do these things. And while we are to pray for our enemies, they're still enemies. While we see a lot of things happening, and there may be people that you know, and they're acting wickedly, they're still wicked. They're evil. And there are evildoers today, people that work iniquity, and that's what they do. Now, that doesn't mean you're powerless, but the thing about this is that the Lord can bring, and even Paul refers to this in the New Testament, that it is something that the Lord will do, that he will bring trouble against those who trouble you, he was telling them. Now, this comes directly out of the Old Testament, and it's justice. because the Lord watch out for people. Now, see, in the same token, we also know that, we overcame, this is Revelation 12:11, concerning Christians in the last days, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love our lives, not unto death. We know there's going to be a lot of martyrs, and even today there's a lot of martyrs for the Lord. But in the end, the Lord brings iniquity upon those that do iniquity and do evil and do it upon others. He will recompense. After all, the Lord has said, you know, as you do unto others, it will be done unto you. And so we are looking this, and of course in Jeremiah 44 is where it talks about returning to Egypt, and the Lord didn't want to, and he gave the Pharaoh, who was king of Egypt at the time, into the hand of his enemies, who was Nebuchadnezzar. And so if you're going to run away instead of staying, God tells you to stay in the land, and he will take care of you there, even though it was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to wind up getting killed. And of course, we have a lot of this when we really look at what is going on in the world today. You're going to have people that are wicked. And one of my articles I wrote today, yesterday and finished today, and it's out on all the social media, was about the fact of the power of faith overcoming fear, and what we've been given in the name of the Lord. Now see, looking back, and we see the Sinai covenant, now the Lord was their defense, and he would, as long as they was walking where they needed to be walking, they were okay. But it wasn't the new covenant like we have today. But in Isaiah 31:3, now this follows the last verse that I gave you. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they shall all fall together. Now you see, the problem of it is the Lord is getting across to Judah, is by going to Egypt, the Egyptians are going to fail. Because even though if the Egyptians have help in the matter, if God is against them, it is not going to work. And the Lord does not depend on the flesh for nothing or for any reason. And, you know, yes, he calls us and we're his children and we're to follow him. But we are to be found in him. And so, you know, we are his witnesses. But in the same token, if we are not where we need to be, we can't very well be his witness. And this is where we look at Psalm 33:10. Actually, there's a number of verses here, but the thing of it is that when you're fighting spiritual warfare, or whether you're looking at the lesson that is found with Judah, the whole issue here, again, is preparing Judah. And Judah, at this time, when this was happening, happened to have Hezekiah, who was a good king. They had had terrible, terrible kings, like Manasseh and Ahaz and Jezebel, who had, when they had a good king, you know, the children of Israel did fine. When they had a bad king like Ahaz, man, the whole place went to pot. And they served other gods. It was a mess. And so the thing of it is, they did have Hezekiah there. And they had the prophets of God that were handy, thank God. And they made it through this thing with them. But see, there is a council here, even for us today. You know, if you're looking at America and you see how divided it is, and we're looking up and we're seeing how nutty all the Democrats are acting up there in, they're acting more like communists than they are, someone that's an American political party. Because you have Susan Rice up there plotting every second, you know, giving Biden all these things he needs to sign so they can overturn everything Trump did. And they frankly don't care what the consequences are. And so, there's division. and you have the division in the House. You have Pelosi and her group who are just vehemently like they're full of the devil, which I would agree they probably are. And they want to impeach Trump no matter what. He's not even in office and they wanted to impeach him. I mean, people are nuts today. They're crazy. And then you have Antifa, and you got there, and they're still rioting today. Even the Democrats are in charge. They're still rioting. And then you also have Arizona, who was going to do another recount, because they're going to do a right recount to prove that everything is either right or wrong, and they suspect there's issues there. So when you've got a lot of this stuff, now we're depending in America on a lot of counsel of men. God doesn't depend on that. God is not depending on America. He knows what he's going to do. When God's train moves out, if you're not on it, you're screwed. And the only way to get on it in these days is through Christ. You need to receive him, as in John 1. You need to be born again to the Spirit, as in John 3. You need to be part of him. He's the vine, we are the branches. You get into John 15. Actually, read from John 10 all the way through chapter 18 is a good section. You need, with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can read Romans 3 through 7, and we're in Romans right now on our Friday morning show. But, see, there's a counsel. Psalm 33:10 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. Now see, this is ended. At the end of these three verses, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I got news for you people today, that this nation does not serve the Lord God. This nation does not honor Jesus Christ, Yahshua. This honor in no way, and many of the churches don't even honor him. They've been given over to mammon. We are not where we need to be. And I've been warning this nation for over 2 decades now in this end time ministry that God had called me to. And I'm using the platform he wanted me to use, and I'm doing what he wanted me to do. And the thing of it is, the counsel of the Lord will stand forever. And when you start standing up and you start dissing the Lord, turning against him, and when you start shooting off your mouth in a nation that actually, the ones that came here that led to the formation of our Constitution and everything that we came to believe, you know, you can see the document itself and how it's supposed to be worked. But the fruits of that was churches, Christianity flourishing, and revivals, and, you know, like in the public schools in America, our kids back then learned to read by reading the Bible. That's our history. Now you have generations of American children today that don't know God, that are more heathen than they are anything else, that despise and hate. You have some of them, and Tower and I were talking about some stories of kids killing other kids. We just have a lot of this stuff going on. And when the Lord says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people who he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now make no mistake, God in the beginning chose Israel and they fell away. But God has not disowned them. But he can't bless them if they're not serving him. But see, God has done a new covenant through his son, Yahshua. And this also was prophesied. So today, in order to be part of that inheritance, you got to come to him through Yahshua, Jesus. And a nation, we're not looking for a theocracy, but see, the nations of them that are saved, Scripture says, are the ones that are going to be walking the streets of Jerusalem, Zion, when it comes. And we're not talking about the blood-soaked Zion, Jerusalem, that we see now. It has to be purified. But there is a heavenly Jerusalem coming down. And so you have two different looks at the covenant here when we're looking at this and going through Isaiah. Isaiah has some of the most prophetic scriptures in it concerning the covenant and the Lord himself. But see, right now, we're in like 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, that's exactly where we're at now, lawlessness. And that's exactly what is going to continue to happen is lawlessness. Thus God will send them a strong delusion, so they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you can read that. That's New Testament, kids. So if you don't think you need to get joined up to the Lord through Christ, his son, you'd better wake up. Because I can tell you, at the time of Isaiah, they didn't have the New Testament there, but they knew very well what right and wrong was. And if you weren't on God's side, you were in deep doo-doo. Isaiah 31:4, he says, "For thus has the Lord spoken unto me. Like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds, leaders of the nation, is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof." Now this is really, really a good scripture here, because if we get to Zechariah 14, and I recommend you read it. I love Zechariah 14. There is so much in that thing. Now you see, the whole issue here and the prophetic idea and this one picture that you have to get here is that when the enemy Assyria came to destroy Jerusalem, the city of God, where God himself had chosen Jerusalem, he chose it as a place that he wanted to be. It's the center of the earth. That's the place where prophecy is centered around. But yet God says that he's going to bring them all down there, the nations down, and he will judge them there. And where did he judge the Assyrians? At the gate of Jerusalem, and by the stroke of an angel, the army was destroyed. Now, there was a few left because they went back with the king. But he was later killed by his own sons in the house of his own idol God. And so you have the nations, and see, this goes back here. It says, "Like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds are leaders of nations." See, those leaders of nations are just like a young lion, just like the lion and the young lion roaring after a kill. That's declaring that they're the king of the beast. They've got their prey, and they're warning others to stay away. So you have a multitude of shepherds or leaders of nations that's called forth, and they're all going to assemble, and they're going to take Jerusalem. They're going to take Zion, just like you have over in Iran. The Ayatollah says, "We're going to be watching Israel. If they do anything at all, we shall destroy them." No, you won't, Ayatollah, for Iran shall fall, and the Ayatollah shall fall, and the hand of God shall be against them. For thus saith the Lord God, "I shall defend Zion, and I shall defend my beloved. For I am the Lord of hosts. Have I not made thee, saith the Lord? Do not I look down upon thee and see thee as a worm crawling in the dust? And yet thou triest to remove me by thy own words. Thou art nothing in the eye of God unless thou repent." Make no mistake about it. Now in Zechariah 14, now remember, the defense of Jerusalem. Now this really relates to us today too. "For behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." Now don't get excited with this, because this is one of the things. There's a lot in here. We're not going to cover it, but one day I need to go through this and tell you all the prophetic points here, because there's a lot. The fact of it is that he's going to gather the nations against Jerusalem to battle. And what parts of Jerusalem will be taken, and there will be people that will be killed. The houses will be trashed. They will take the loot out. The women will be ravished. You know what that means, the ones, whoever it is on that end of the thing. And half of the city is going to be taken into captivity. And there will be another portion of it that they're not going to take. But then it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, just when it looks hopeless. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed to the south, and half of it towards the one to the north and one to the south. And see, and you shall flee. There's going to make a valley when he does that. And they're going to flee. And when they flee, and this is the one thing I like. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal, and you shall flee, like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That's us, folks. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Now this is the day of the Lord, folks. And it shall be a day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. It'll be a totally different time. And if you've ever been up in Alaska like Tower and I have and lived for a while, and we, you go outside at midnight or 2 a.m. and it looks like it's daylight. The sun ain't up, but it's like a gray sky. Well, see, this is going to be the same kind. It's going to be a different kind of a day. See, this is end time, very end time. But see, the Lord is going to defend Jerusalem. But Jerusalem over the years have been fought over by every army you could think of. The enemy wants Jerusalem. Satan wants Jerusalem. The demons in hell want Jerusalem. And see, all this globalism that they're trying to bring in, it's not going to bode well for people who believe in the Constitution like us. It's going to mean death. It's going to mean war. It isn't good. But eventually, they're going to use this when the Dark One comes. He's going to be the last great Goyim leader, Gentile leader. Now, he himself won't be a Gentile. Now, he's going to either come from Isaac or Ishmael's side, but he will come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, you see, the promise went through Isaac, not Ishmael. And Ishmael represents the Arab tribes, and God promised he would bless the Arab tribes. It's all in Scripture. And so when it came out, there was an equal a number of tribes on each side, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was blessed. Ishmael was blessed too, but not with the promise where the Messiah would go through. And see, today we have the same problem. You have Islam that belongs to the arm of Ishmael. You have Judaism that belongs to the side of Isaac, but also the Christians. For the Jews and the Christians are bound through Isaac, because of the promise. And Israel shall be saved. But God is talking here about something that he's trying to do with his people, to teach them a lesson, to bring them along. Don't depend upon the flesh. We do depend on the flesh in a lot of ways, but we cannot depend on it all the time. There is an underlying power, and especially for Christians today, faith, bringing down principalities and powers, rebuking demons and darkness, binding these powers, bringing them down in the name of the Lord through fasting and prayer. And there's a call out, and you may not have heard it, but it's coming through the Spirit of God to the churches in America and around the world, in Europe and up in Canada and down into South America. And it's saying, thus saith the Lord God to my people, rise up and depend upon me, for I will show you that which I have given you. And it's up to us. Will we walk in the way of the Lord, or will we depend upon the flesh, whining and crying? It's time to stand up. It's time to rise up. For our power is not in the arm of the flesh. People like guns and rifles and armies and tanks, but our power is in the name of the Lord and the ability that Christ has given us, because he triumphed over every principalities and powers, and that's to bind these powers of darkness and cast them down. For the angels of the Lord will go forth when you thus command. But you have to be found in him. So in Isaiah 31:5, this has to do with defending Jerusalem. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. He's going, now the thing about this is, defending is not just defending. When we think of defense, you know, you put up your dukes and that's your fists. And if someone's trying to box with you, you know, you do a left jab or you block and you cross with your right. I mean, that's defense. Someone going to hit me, I'm going to raise my dukes. I was taught boxing as a kid by my dad. My grandfather was a Golden Gloves boxing champion, and he must have taught dad. Well, at any rate, that's defense. But see, in the eyes of God, when he rises to the defense, defense is shield. He's not just going to defend you, he's going to shield you. And he says in Zechariah 12:8, for instance, and we were reading Zechariah 14, he says, in that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And in that day, when we look at in that day, we think of the very end of days, when time is no more, when, you know, we're waiting on the Lord, the Antichrist, the son of perdition is here, and everybody's going down to Jerusalem. Well, see, we hear this cry all the time. And it's coming out of various enemies of Israel that we're going to destroy you. Erdogan wants to take Jerusalem back because he's the Ottoman Empire and they were chased out by Allenby. But you see, when God rises, it's not just to defend you and leave you utterly broken. It's to defend you and shield you. And the thing, too, here, he uses the term passing over. This is the same term that we see with Israel on Passover. It's also the same thing we use as Christians today. If you keep the feasts, you know what I'm talking about when we're talking about the death angel passing over and how this applies to us as believers today. And that is why you look at the feasts, you keep the feasts, you understand what they are. They are a shadow of things to come. Yes, Israel was out of Israel and they built sukkahs to remind them of all that and reminded what God has done. And that's fine, but he did more than that. For passing over, he shall deliver them. And it was the lamb that was sacrificed that saved them from the death angel. And so too, when Yahshua was here, John said, the lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, referring, of course, to the Passover lamb. That here's the fulfillment of the Passover. So when God says he's going to defend Jerusalem back in the times of Hezekiah, he's crying out through all the ages, I will defend those who are mine. I will not only defend them, I will be their shield to them. And I will requite evil unto those that harm them, for I have called them out and they are mine. For thus saith the Lord, I am God and there is none else. Have I not given my son to this world? Have I not given my spirit to thee? And I've spoken the word, and not one jot or tittle shall stop until it shall be fulfilled. I say unto thee, thou shalt repent, or the end thereof shall be death, O man. The Lord's purpose was to fight for Zion, Jerusalem. And in the time of Hezekiah, no amount of army that Sennacherib could bring in was going to stop the Lord. In Isaiah and Zechariah 14, looking ahead, no amount of army that gets mustered from the nations of men is enough to stop the Lord. And in the New Testament, we know more about that. The blood shall run deep to the horse's bridle, and you may think, well, that's just a figure of speech. Well, I teach on the blood. And let me tell you something about the blood. Those of you today who are killing innocent babies in abortion, that's just one example of innocent blood being shed during the tribulation. And I've taught on this blood all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and during the time that the Lord was here, you can find the guilt of the blood. And God will feed you blood, and you shall drink blood, and you shall die, for it will be bitter. You think this is just playing around here? And Isaiah 31:6, now, we've been talking about the Lord defending his people, and in 31:6, he says this, turn ye, or repent, or return, turn to the Lord, he's saying, unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. All of this is coming upon the children of Israel, this is Judah, and even though Hezekiah is at the head, they have deeply revolted. In order to be defended by the Lord, and this is under the covenant at that time, you had to turn to him and walk in his ways. So when Peter stood up at Pentecost, the beginning of the church, the outpouring of his spirit, for Joel prophesied this, Peter gives a whole thing on what God was doing. And the first verse says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ, or the Messiah, should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now see, it goes on and tells all that. This is on the day of Pentecost, Christ has already went to the cross, was dead and buried and raised from the dead, seen alive, ascended to heaven in a cloud. And the men of Galilee, the disciples saw him go. And they said, this same Jesus, Yahshua, as you have seen him go, that is in a cloud, he will come the same way. He's coming again. And he sealed the new covenant with his blood. That's the blood of the covenant. It hasn't torn down the Sinai covenant. It has fulfilled the covenant. And that fulfillment was the relationship between God and those who fell because of sin. And God has made it, and it's been done. Christ said on the cross, it is finished. He did it. He won for us. And Revelation, you'll see practically the same phrase referring to this gospel of Christ, the revelation of Christ, and everything God had done. It is done. It's finished. Both phrases. One initiates that this blood of the covenant is done, and the other one, it's, you know, the one it was established, and the other one in Revelation determines and tells you that all the things that that was to cover and bringing in the Christ and his kingdom is now fulfilled. So make no mistake, this same God that defended Judah here, even the same God that sent Judah into bondage for 70 years, 70 fulfillment, you could call that a generation. Yet it was the fulfillment of time that God required for them to be in bondage, but then they were delivered. Now you see, this same Pentecost that Peter preached at, there was a bunch of Jews from Rome and Italy. They heard it, they went back to Rome and started church. They started preaching the word. And that's where Paul comes in at, and we're covering that in Romans, because he's talking to some of the various Jews and the fruits of the Jewish ministry as a result of what they had seen down there as a result of Pentecost and what Peter had preached. So Paul was making it a point to go to Rome to tell them so, and to let them know what they needed to be doing. Now see, after he tells them in verse 6, speaking to the children of Israel, to turn and repent, he gets back to another truth here. For in that day, the day that the Lord comes, when you turn to him and he's there to defend you, and you've turned to him, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Ezekiel 36:23-27, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I shall take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. They won't need the law, it will be within them. Folks, this is the fulfillment of the new covenant through Yahshua. Why are you casting away your silver? Because you don't need them. You've been born again. You've been changed. And when you do need something to buy something with, you recognize that it's just a tool. It is not an idol. This whole thing is redemptive, folks. Verse 8. 31:8 says, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man the sword, and not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Now you see, that's when the Lord goes to make war against him. And in the time of Armageddon, the time of the end, when the Dark One has convinced the Gentile armies to surround Jerusalem, he's convinced them to take everything over and get rid of the Jews and fight God when he comes. That's surely God will leave the planet to him. But the Assyrian represents the wickedness in the world as well, the wicked man, the mean man, or woman. But when they see him, when they see the Lord and the armies of heaven coming, their hearts shall fail them, and they shall flee, but they shall be destroyed before they ever get anywhere. For he is holy, and he wars in righteousness. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and a two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. His nostrils are breathing fire. His eyes are fire. He is white as glory, just pure white, glistening, brighter than the sun. And a plague shall go out and shall destroy every one of them. Oh God. Now see, there is going to be some wars. That's a whole other different thing in the time we're living. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening. There's stuff in America. But I'm here to tell you, Christian, America is not our home of heaven. Our heaven is with Christ, Yahshua. We are his and he is ours, and he will rise to defend us. Now you can take politics and they can be as mean and nasty as ever. But I'm here to tell you, O believer, that this is a lot more than what you've been led to think by many of the churches and weak-kneed preaching that has been going on. The saltless gospel, which cannot retain any salvation for anything, out of faithless pastors and disbelieving people who never fast, never pray, and if they do, it's for themselves. For God has given you a gift, and you have shirked it, you have thrown it away. And you think of America as losing America as the greatest thing that you have lost, when in fact you've lost the Lord God. For if you have truly been doing your job in seeking him and being the salt of the earth, then America would not have been lost, for the enemy has entered in, just like it did in the time of Israel. Whenever they had trouble, whenever they begin falling aside, you can trace it to them falling away from the Lord. When they fall away from the Lord gave the enemy power over them to enter in order to stir Israel up, in order to let them see what's happening so that they would turn back to him. And the Lord is saying unto the Americans, and he's saying unto the church, wherever it may be found, be stirred, O my people, be found in me. Let my spirit revive thee, and let my word comfort thee, and know that I am faithful, and I have given you the power to bring down principalities and powers. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. There is no devil in hell that can defeat you. But you have defeated yourself because you have sold yourself by the sins which you love so much. And in retrospect, today, I saw a picture of our new head of Homeland, I forgot what he was the head of. But he's the one that was dressed in a dress. Grown man, probably about 50. Long hair. Pink little dress. Tights. He's going to be the head of American government. We have a profane minister in there by Warlock. I think that's his name. Who believes that abortion is God's will. It's a fitting picture for a profane government and a profane nation. Yeah, thanks, Tower. The Secretary of Health. Oh, the guy needs to deliver. There is clean and unclean, folks. Your kids, your nation. Now, see, we're talking about Israel, and it was pretty serious, because God was trying to give a life lesson here to them, in regards to Assyria. He could have allowed Assyria to destroy him, but he wasn't going to. But the next time Judah faced an insurrection from a mighty, mighty kingdom, it would be Babylon. And this time God would not deliver them because they did things worse than they had done this time. And they refused to listen to the Lord God. And they had priests, they had prophets, they had the temple, and they had the leaders and the political system. None of them listened. When the Lord came, the ones who sent him to the cross was plots directly handed down from the chief priests and those underneath him. It was the established religion of the day for the Jews. They killed their own leader and didn't even know it. Now the people on the street who were Jews who had seen him, many of them had believed. Zacchaeus, come down, for this day I must eat with you. The tax collector. Lazarus was raised from the dead. It's time to draw nigh, like James said. For all your riches, they're going to become like fire to your soul. You'll weep and howl. They will not save you. And that's the problem we got in America. We got a lot of people that don't care that there's evil going on. They don't care how they got the election as long as they got it. They despise Trump. And they say because of his tweets, but it wasn't that. His own cabinet prayed before they did anything. Trump was always seen with people praying for him. On several different occasions, I had heard him, you know, in his speech mentioning Jesus Christ was the head. This is why they hated him. Because he had followers, Christians and conservatives and patriots, who didn't like the unclean thing, who wanted something different, who wanted a nation back the way it was. So when we look at Israel and what they face, we look at America, what they face, we can find a relationship. But America is no Israel. America is not Israel. There's Christians here, and it's because of the promise given to us. And we can believe in Yahshua and receive him, and we can be grafted in. But America, there's no nation like Israel. And under Trump, they just made their fourth, I call it the renewal of the Abrahamic covenant between the brothers. That was just sealed just before Trump, you know, left the Oval Office. The Democrats have not a clue what that is. The wicked have not a clue what that is. I know what it is. You as a believer should know what it is. God is getting ready. May God have mercy on America, that in his judgment we'll be able to find that mercy. America's facing judgment, but for his people, he knows how to deliver the righteous while reserving the wicked for judgment. But you're going to find out just how this will go. Now, there's a lot of cross scriptures I could have read, and this is where, you know, I could just sit here and go through this and never even look back. Revelation 19, I was going to go that, and that's the Lord coming. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. You know that scripture, beautiful, beautiful imagery. There is just so much here. And what we're going to do is leave off at 31:9, because I like to refer back to where we were before, and this will unite what we did in 31 to what we're going to do in chapter 32. And you know, I love this stuff. This is, you know, you got to love it. I mean, you either do or you don't. And I think that's for a lot of people. You know, they actually find it boring. But it's not boring, folks. If you haven't been able to tell, I believe every word of this. And I believe that he's coming again. I believe that we're winning. I believe that we will be with the Lord, that his kingdom will be established, that there will be Zion. Now, a lot of people have tried to take the hope of Zion and screw it up, including really left-wing Jews who use it as a political Zionism. Father, thank you for this word and for your mercy. Bless those that hear it. Give them understanding. Draw them close to you. May they be found in you through Yahshua. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower.
You know, Dana, I'm just really thankful for this word tonight. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His word is true and living, and it stays the same. And you can apply these scriptures to your own life, even though it was thousands of years ago. You can still apply this to your life today. And when you're going through hard times, God is there. Put your burden on him. Cast your burden upon him. And he will make a way. He will take care of you.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
Now, how do we know that? Because we do it.
And we've gone through hard times.
We have.
And it teaches you to depend on the Lord. That's for sure.
So look up. And don't put so much stock in the news you hear all the time.
Amen.
But the Lord is here. He's in charge.
And he's our God and our protector.
He is.
Our healer and the keeper of our souls. Bless the Lord.
Well, you know, we're going to be in 32. So, by the time 32 and 32, that's 64. You know, you get one more chapter past that and we'll be halfway and go downhill from there. You know, start. I figure in another year we should be done with this. So the Lord ain't coming,
Dana,
until I finish this.
Well, you better hurry up and get it finished, dude.
I'm in no hurry.
I want him to come.
Well, if he comes, I guess we're going to have to be sitting around that tree in the New Jerusalem, and I'll have to be teaching it there. Come around. We got the rest of eternity. I can really preach now. See, and it'll be a lot longer services because we're going to be
time stops then.
You know, yeah, we're going to be glorified. We're going to have, you know, we're going to be just glorified like the Lord. I mean, there's not going to be any end. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, can you think that? You know, eternity, you're going to be preaching and praising the Lord. You know, I'm sure he'll have things for us to do. But there won't be any dust. There won't be any rust. There won't be any all those things that we busy ourselves cleaning up here.
That's true. Thank
yep.
God.
Thank God. The former things are passed away.
Amen.
Even sicknesses and plagues. Thank God. Thank God Almighty.
Amen.
Be ye thankful and look to the Lord, my friends. We got to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. I love you. We love you. We pray for you. We hope the best in for you and the Lord Jesus Christ. May you rest in Him and be at peace. Good night, everybody. Thank you for all you do.
Shalom, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.